Amen. Thank you, music ministry team, for that powerful time of worship this morning. Thank you, Vince, for praying for us today, leading us in a time of corporate prayer, collective prayer. Children, you are now dismissed to head to your classes. It's so good to be together with you all this morning here at Calvary Monument Bible Church. Those of you who are online, we welcome you. And of course, those of you who are in the building, we're super glad that you're here with us today as well. 23 years ago today, it was a day actually that was a lot like this. I thought about this morning as I was outside walking. It felt a lot like this. The temperature was like this. 23 years ago today, my wife did a really brave thing. Yeah, she said I do to this crazy person up here standing in front of you this morning. So yes, thank you Sheila, thank you for being my best friend. Thank you for an amazing 23 years. A singer-songwriter once described marriage as dancing in the minefields. And yeah, and certainly 23 years ago today when we were joined together, we had no idea what minefields the Lord would have in store for us, and we have danced, stumbled, cried, and cheered through many, many minefields over the years. Sometimes we call these minefields storms. And this morning we just sang and just heard Josh marvelously singing, leading us through a song about God being with us in the storms. Some storms in our lives are simply unavoidable. We like stability. Anybody here not like stability? I like things to be stable. I like things to be routine. I like things to be predictable. Some of us even build systems that help us feel safe and in control. And still, storms arrive. They come. Some come suddenly. We receive a phone call, very unexpected. Some come in the way of an unexpected loss. Others come in the way of a life-changing diagnosis. Other storms, they gather slowly. They are off on the horizon until eventually what once seemed so distant is now all of a sudden in our own front yard. Large or small, what kind of storm is present in your life today? Or what kind of storm is gathering off in the distance with the potential to disrupt? There are the storms of financial uncertainty. There are the storms of uncontrollable worry and anxiety. There are the storms of relational fracture and the storms of a future that we can no longer discern. And one of the hardest truths that disciples of Jesus will learn and must eventually encounter is this: sometimes these storms come even as we are exactly where God wants us to be. We enter into Acts 27 today. If you have your Bibles, you want to take and turn to Acts chapter 27. This is not a narrative of rebellion. It is a narrative of obedience from within the storm. It reads like a journal entry that is being written from within the bowels of a ship that's in the midst of a terrible and life-threatening maelstrom. Paul is following Jesus towards Rome exactly as Christ desired. Yet between the promise and the fulfillment is going to stand wind and darkness and fear and uncertainty and shipwreck. And Paul's example is going to encourage us that as followers of Jesus, the storms that we face, the adversity, the obstacles in our lives do not have to be a distraction from the mission that he has given us. Which leads us to an essential question that we will encounter in our text this morning. How do we, as followers of Jesus, remain faithful when obedience to God leads us directly into storms that are beyond our control. Luke begins the narrative in Acts 27 today by tracing the voyage to Rome. Paul is traveling under Roman custody. And very early on in the chapter, God's providence is already quietly starting to appear. Julius, this centurion, is treating Paul with unusual kindness, allowing him to visit friends. And at first, this journey seems very predictable. Slowly, though, as we work our way through the chapter, the tension builds, the wind shifts, the travel will slow, conditions start to get worse, and this is how a lot of storms begin in our lives. We notice subtle changes. The clouds start to cover the sky. The humidity rises. We hear the sound of thunder off in the distance. We know that a storm may be coming. Not all at once, but with warning signs first. And as we pick up in verse 9 of chapter 27, the voyage has become dangerous. So we're going to look at starting at verse 9. Before we read, let's stand together for the reading of God's word, and we'll pray and ask him to help us in our time of study. Lord, as we sang this morning, we acknowledge that you are with us in the storm. And as we gather here today, whether we're in a building or whether we're online watching, we recognize, Lord, in the storm that we are facing right now in our lives, that we are not alone. We need this example today from Paul. Because, Lord, you desire us to remain faithful in the storms in life. And sometimes, Lord, we need to be encouraged and reminded that you have not abandoned us in the storms, that you are with us, strengthening us, sustaining us, filling us with hope, even when things seem dark. So, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, prepare us to be encouraged, to learn from Paul's strong example in the text today. Might we honor you as we follow Jesus, even as we endure the storms of this life. We give you the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to pick up in verse 9 of chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse 9. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend winter there. Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon, a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground and search us, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo, and on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. This is a violent Mediterranean storm. The crew has secured the hull with ropes. The cargo is being thrown overboard. Eventually, the ship's tackle is even thrown into the sea. And as I was reading and studying this week, my imagination went back to the storm that led Jonah to be being cast overboard on his ship. For days, the crew and the shipmates are unable to see the sun. At night, they can't even discern the stars. There is no light, which means there is no navigation. They are drifting blindly across the ocean water. And Luke gives us a dark line to describe the feeling on the ship. It's in verse 20. Did you catch it in verse 20? All hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. What's it like to abandon all hope? Not reduced to a glimmer. Luke said, completely abandoned. And here is Paul. And Paul is present in the storm on the ship because he has been obedient and faithful to Jesus. And there is this way of thinking that is sometimes assumed in our circles, that if hardship exists in our life, that either must mean that we have sinned or that we have missed out on God's will. The scriptures reveal an entirely different paradigm through which to interpret our storms. Israel, they faced the Red Sea. David had to hide for his life in caves. The prophets, they were being faithful, and still they were rejected and persecuted, and Jesus himself walked towards the cross. Friends, the scriptures teach us that faithfulness to Jesus does not exempt us from storms or suffering. Jesus says, in this life, you will have troubles. Sometimes faithfulness leads us directly into times or seasons of suffering. And we can find this difficult because the culture that we currently live in is deeply committed to being able to be in control of our own narrative. We want to make the plans. We want to execute the timeline. We desire predictability and routine. We pursue outcomes that seem manageable. And in Acts 27, we're reminded that our lives are not our own to manage or control. There are times in life when our sense of control collapses under life's storms. In Acts 27, the sailors have lost their visibility. There's no sense of direction. The stability that they once had is now gone. Their expertise as sailors, as fishermen, as people who have explored the seas and navigated the seas, all of that expertise is now useless. Hope has been abandoned. Some of us know this feeling all too well. Some of us have been utterly exhausted. Maybe we're sitting here today and we are utterly exhausted by life right now. It feels dizzying. The pace is disorienting. We're unable to clearly see or interpret what's coming next. We feel as though we're just living in reactive mode, reacting to the very next thing, whatever it is that comes. It's happening so fast. There's so much that we're recognizing that's out of our control. And still, Jesus is Lord over the storms that he does not immediately calm. Now, we've seen it in the Gospels. We know that with just a word, Jesus is able to calm storms. He's done it before. He can do it again. And here, even as he is with Paul, Jesus is going to allow this storm to complete its course and have the effect that he intends. And after days of fear and chaos, Paul will eventually speak. And as Paul speaks, this is the next portion of our text here, we are reminded that he is more than just a prisoner of Rome. Just as we saw last week, Paul is a witness. He is testifying to the faithfulness of God, even from within the storm. Look at verses 21 to 26. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, You should have listened to me and have not set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all of those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island." Standing at the very center of this chapter are the words in verse 23. Take a look at those words again, those words from Paul. "The God to whom I belong and whom I worship." Life brings storms. We know that. As we live here today, we're experiencing that. Life brings storms. Where are we dropping our anchors? Paul's anchor in the midst of this storm is his identity as one who belongs to God and who worships God. The storm has not stopped. Notice, it's not better. It's not that the storm is over. They're in the midst of it. The ship is still being beaten and battered. Nothing externally has improved for Paul and his shipmates. And still there is something that cannot be shaken because it does not depend on our circumstances, but rather on God's impeccable faithfulness. God is with us in the storm. Amen? Amen. And in the storm, God is still worthy of our worship. He strengthens us as he is rescuing us. It's natural, friends, it's natural for us. I've experienced this as well, to want and to desire fast and immediate deliverance from the things that are hard and difficult in this life. That is natural. And God is teaching us dependence on him as he sustains us through the storms and the shipwrecks that are part of this world. God promises Paul and the crew survival. He does not promise them comfort. The boat is still being tossed about. The ship eventually, Paul says, look, the ship is going to be lost. Soon the crew is going to enter the water and none will perish. None will perish. Sometimes, friends, God takes us around the wreckage. Yes. There are times that we see that storm off in the distance, and we understand the potential threat that it is, and guess what? It never comes into our front yard. There are times when God takes us around the wreckage. There are times when he carries us through it. Always, he is faithful. Always. And here is Paul, again, Paul's example all throughout. Really, Peter and Paul in Acts, they're like superheroes. We could give them capes, but they're normal people. It's amazing to watch Paul's faithfulness on full display. And not only can we see it today, and can we be encouraged by Paul's faithfulness today, but think about the people who were with him on the ship. Everyone else around him, terrified. Everyone else around him recognizing they have no control over what's happening in their life. And here is Paul, steadfast. The storm has not changed or disturbed his identity. The storm will not control whom he will worship. And this feels deeply relevant in our world, as we look around and we see the struggle with identity and meaning, leading some scholars in our times to label this as the anxious age. Did you hear that before? We are living in the, quote, anxious age. We are exhausted, often overwhelmed. Very regularly, we are overcommitted. We are fearful. We are socially, emotionally, politically, intellectually, and sometimes even spiritually disoriented. We have so much information and knowledge available to us that it has drowned out wisdom and confused truth. Who am I? What is my purpose? How am I supposed to make meaning of this life? And into this age, we as the church cling to a bright and hopeful truth. We belong to God through Jesus. Amen? We know to whom we belong. It's not confused. There's great clarity. We are children of God through Christ. What security is in that? Great security. And because of this, because we know who we are, because we see ourselves and recognize ourselves truthfully as children of God through Christ, because of this, we know and are motivated by a purpose that is far greater than ourselves. Because of Jesus, we've been set free to worship and to glorify the God of all ages in and through all things. Amen? What a glorious way to live. What a glorious thing to live for, to bring God glory in all things because of Christ. And oh, what steadfastness that produces in our lives. And Jesus is able to use one steadfast witness to stabilize an entire community. That's all it takes sometimes. Look back on the ship in Acts 27. Paul's the person. There's a great storm. There's chaos. There's confusion. There's disruption. And here is Paul speaking and living hope in despair. He's not loud. He's not screaming, panicked. He's not pretending like the danger isn't real. But he's anchored. He's steadfast. He's immovable. And in his posture and in his words and in his life, he's abounding in the work of the Lord, even from within the storm. Two more relentless weeks are going to pass. Could you imagine a three-week storm like this? Two more relentless weeks are going to pass. This storm is going to continue to batter the ship. It's going to continue to disrupt visibility, to confuse their bearings. And eventually, as the narrative continues, the sailors begin sensing that land is nearby, but their hope is again mixed with fear. You see, if as they're coming close to the island, they strike the rocks in the darkness, the boat could break apart and everyone on board could be lost at sea. And so they drop anchor and they wait for daylight. Look at verses 30 to 38. As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship. Isn't that natural in times of difficulty and despair? Isn't that natural? As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Well, that sounds counter to reason. And the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and they let it go. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you, take some food, for it will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." And when he said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all. Remember, Paul's a prisoner on this ship. And look at him leading. He takes bread, he breaks it, giving thanks to God in the presence of all. He breaks and begins to eat. Verse 36, then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. This is a very human moment in the chapter. We can identify with the sailors. They're wanting to secretly escape, to be rescued. And as a result of everything happening, they haven't been eating. Fear has unraveled the ship and the people on it, and Paul is just responding with what we might label as what seems as ordinary faithfulness. Ordinary faithfulness in an extraordinary moment. He's encouraging the people. He's telling them to eat. He's taking bread. He's publicly giving thanks to God. The ship is breaking apart. The waves are crashing in. Paul is giving thanks. It's an example of mature faith. Not pretending that life is easy. Not denying what is going on and what is happening outside. But continuing to worship God in the middle of it. Church, we've talked about perseverance before. We've talked about faithful endurance before. This is indeed one of the themes of the book of Acts. Yes, the apostles do some extraordinary things. Absolutely. They do some miraculous things. But Acts is also loaded with examples of everyday, ordinary faithfulness. Continuing to pray. Building up and encouraging others. Being present with compassion and intention. Giving thanks to God. Paul has no official authority on this ship, and yet everyone seems to be looking to him. Why? Friends, it's the storms in our life that reveal to others who it is or what it is that is anchoring us. And in this storm, how Paul is living because of who he is anchored to, is compelling others to take notice, to pay attention. And church, people will take notice of steadfast souls in chaotic times. We are not perfect people by any sense of the imagination, but we can and should live as a people who are firmly anchored to the faithfulness of God, because we are. And this is the sort of presence that both encourages the church, it encourages the church to see saints, to see brothers and sisters in Christ standing strong through storm and difficulty. It's an encouragement, but not only does it encourage the church, but it compels and it challenges those who have not yet believed. How can you live like that? I don't know what could carry you through something as difficult as what you're going through right now. We know. We know. Steadfast followers of Jesus. A people deeply rooted in Jesus who have been empowered and equipped by His Holy Spirit to help stabilize anxious homes, to come alongside of and assist in repairing broken relationships, to cultivate healthy workplace environments wherever we've been placed, to calm congregations and other brothers and sisters in Christ when fear threatens to capsize our communities and our congregations. We are a people who are stabilized by God's faithful presence with us, even as we eagerly await daylight to come. Now the sailors are going to attempt to run the ship ashore, but the vessel in the text strikes a reef and begins to break apart under the force of the waves. Look at verses 39 to 44, the conclusion of chapter 27. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then, hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, there he is, the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Is this amazing? This text is amazing. All were brought safely. Doesn't sound like they were all brought comfortably, that's for sure. Nor were they all brought cleanly. They did not stay dry. Some are going to have to swim for it. Others are going to cling to broken planks. But everyone, just as God promised, is going to make it safely to shore. Faithfulness, church, it does not always look impressive, but it does survive the tests and trials of life. Because of God's power at work within us, because of the Holy Spirit that He's given to us, we can cling and hold on through grief. We can remain steady in uncertainty. We can persevere through life's exhaustion. The ship is lost, but the mission is not. Paul's mission is clear. He's going to keep going. He's not going to stop. He's going to preach the gospel. He's going to live it. He's going to point other people to Jesus and invite them to repentance and new life in Him. The gospel does not depend on our strength or our circumstances or our comfort. It is God's power. No prison can contain its message. No amount of persecution can discourage it. There are no storms that are able to sink its hope. It continues advancing by God's power on the merit of Jesus' faithfulness. And somehow, in some way, He invites us along as living and active partners and participants in what He's doing. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But this is our hope. Christ alone. Christ alone. And church, there's a pattern in here, just as we've seen through the rest of the book of Acts and our study in this book. There's a pattern here that we as the church today can continue. And we are sailing together, figuratively, through the storms of this current age in which we've been placed in. We are not here by accident. We have been born at the time we have been born and situated in the location that we've been situated in according to God's plan and design with great purpose, and we continue. And Acts 27 reminds us this morning that faithfulness in the storm is rarely going to look wild and dramatic. More often, it's going to look consistent and steady, persistent, enduring. It will keep going. We worship when life feels uncertain. We pray even when we are overwhelmed by grief, uncertainty, pain, and discomfort. We encourage brothers and sisters in Christ, seeking to build them up in love, even as fear threatens to unravel. We do not lose or abandon hope, even when times are dark and our sense of direction has been diminished. We remain present instead of escaping or distracting ourselves or growing detached. We trust in Jesus even as we watch our preferred outcomes sink beneath the waves. Some of us this morning may need to consider. What are we attempting to cling to or control other than Jesus that we need to surrender to Him? For others, we may need to stop thinking about and interpreting every hardship in our life as evidence that God is somehow against us or that He has in some way abandoned us. All of us, no matter where we are today, need the reminder from Paul in verse 23 that we belong to God. And we are to remain faithful and courageous enough, even in our storms, to worship Him. We cling to the encouragement that in Christ Jesus, we never have to face our storms alone. The same Jesus who was with Paul in the darkness of this storm stands still with His church today. He is faithful. And if He has promised to bring us safely home, then there is no storm, there is no suffering, there is no uncertainty, adversity, or shipwreck in our life that can take over or rule us. We can rest in the bedrock promise that those who suffer with Christ will also reign with Him. Let's pray as our team. Oh, we will have no team today. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to give announcements, and we'll dismiss. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the testimony of Paul through Acts 27. Thank You for Your faithfulness. You overwhelm this entire chapter. From the centurion who You motivated to protect Paul's life, to the encouragement that You gave Paul, to the influence that You gave him over the crew, even as one with no formal authority. Lord, we recognize and see Your presence with him in every step. And Father, if You could just today remind us and encourage our hearts that in the same way, You are with us in whatever storm we are in today. For some of us, Lord, it feels like big storms, like things that are absolutely beyond our control. And we can look in this chapter and remember that You are with us. For some of us, Lord, it may be small things, things that are there, but not every day disrupting our lives. Lord, let us trust You in those things as well, that You are with us. And for those of us who are looking out and perhaps growing anxious about the potential threat of a storm we see on the horizon, might You calm our spirits? Might You quiet the waves and the storms in our inner lives that are causing panic and worry? And might You help us rest in Your goodness, trust in Your goodness, and walk by faith that come what may, You will be faithful, You will be good, and You will sustain us. Lord, we trust You, we love You, we thank You for giving us Jesus, we thank You for securing our identity in You through Him and the work He's done for us on the cross. And we give You the glory for all of these things today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.